Good morning. This is Daniel King from Mannheim again with the Daily Inspiration. First of all, I'd like to apologize for not being on the last two mornings. We had company at our house from Sunday afternoon till Monday evening, so we've been busy with that, and I didn't get around to doing the inspiration here. So I would like to pick up where I left off about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. I think we had touched some on Moses there, and also how they needed to go through, or they needed to be delivered by the blood that they put on their doorposts as a sign of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ as the deliverer from our bondages in our lives. And so we see here as they left, it was a mighty big army of people. They had 600,000 men, and then it says besides children, besides women and children, I'm assuming. It just says besides children, but I'm assuming that the 600,000 were the men only. So there was at least double that for the women, and then you have the children. It says also there was a mixed multitude that went up, flocks. The mixed multitude, I would say, would be the converted Egyptians that had joined the children of Israel. And there was flocks and herds and very much cattle. So this was a huge group of people. And they had these unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt as a sign that they were delivered. It says because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had prepared for themselves any victual. So it was just a illustration there of when God does his work, when God does his work in our hearts, he does it thoroughly and immediately. There's no waiting. The old story goes that in our hearts the latch is on the inside and Jesus is on the outside waiting. So the minute we open the door and invite Jesus in, he will come in. So that's just an illustration that he won't even wait until bread rises. You know, I think bread takes about an hour or two to rise maybe. And that's really a short time compared to, you know, the 400 years that they were in bondage. But it's just an illustration that when the time is right, when we call upon God, once our heart is ready, God will come immediately. And so that's how it was. They were thrust out of Egypt. And the other thing I'd like to point out here is the other interesting illustration here is that it says after the firstborn, after they found the firstborns were all dead, that was in the same night. It says there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. And then that very night, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children, and both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. So they said we'd be all dead men. And I had to think of that as reading that. You know, when Jesus was walking here on the earth, there was numerous times when he would be confronted, or when he would confront or be confronted with men who were possessed with demons. And the demons would usually cry out, and there was much trembling there. It's kind of a similar situation, if you can picture that. The demons here standing in front of Jesus were trembling. And that's how it was with the Egyptians here. They stood there trembling before the children of Israel. Well, here they were. The children of Israel were bondmen and servants and slaves. And the Egyptians were the superpower of the world. They had a huge, almost invincible army. So you have to wonder, well, how does that work? How does that happen? You know, and we have to think of the terrors of Satan. And I think there's not a one of us who would not agree that Satan is a terrible and a cruel and a mighty beast. You know, as we look at his accomplishments in this world, all the abuse and the sin and the terrible things that go on in this world. And there's some of us that may have felt that power of Satan in a more real way than others, but I think we would all testify that us standing alone in a duel with Satan, we would be completely outwitted, outnumbered, outpowered. You know, there would be no argument about that. And so, but once we have an encounter with God, once God steps in on our side, once God, in a sense, teams up with us, but then again, it's not really him teaming up with us either, but rather it's him fighting for us. Once he in his mercy comes and fights for us, the enemy trembles, and trembles exceedingly. You know, so the difference is right there. The difference is not our own strength, but the difference is God on our side? Is God fighting for us? And so that's an illustration there. Those demons that met with Jesus were completely disarmed. They were totally overpowered. And when you know, when Jesus said go, they went. There was no waiting. It was immediate. And they were completely at his mercy. You know, there's a scripture that says even the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe in Jesus, but they tremble because they're on the other camp. And so, there they were, traveling out in one night. And they had their bread dough netting, dough troughs on their backs, in backpacks, and their unleavened bread was with them there. So there's a few things I'd like to point out here yet in this. It says, the ordinance of the Passover was set into place, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. They were supposed to keep this as a remembrance, which they actually did until the Messiah came, which then was the real Messiah. And as I think it's Colossians or Hebrews, one of them talks about the shadow of things coming. And so when you see, sometimes there's a shadow seeing of something before the real thing appears. Like, let's say we're in the corner of a building and the sun is away from us, and sometimes we'll, I remember when I was a little child, sometimes we'd play hide and seek or peep around the corner or something like that, and sometimes you could actually see the shadow of the person before you could actually see the person. And so that would be a giveaway that there's a person there because you saw the shadow. And that's what the observation of much of this these ordinances were in the children of Israel and in their day, the Passover being the well, it was sort of twofold. One was a remembrance of how they were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of the hands of their oppressors. But at the same time, it's also a it was something that pointed forward to a promise made by God about a Messiah coming. And that Passover was a lamb that was supposed to be without blemish, and they were also supposed to, you know, eat their bread unleavened. And so that was all a shadow of things to come. And so when the children of Israel were, you know, when they were, for many, many years afterward, up until the coming of Christ, they did those things as a remembrance of both mighty things done in the past and of the coming Messiah. And so once the Messiah came, there was no more need for that, because now we have the real person. Now we don't need to just look at the shadow, but rather, you know, once the real person is in view, the focus is on the real person, not on the shadow anymore. So that's how that came to pass, that that was no longer needed after Christ came here on this earth. And so there's just a lot of beautiful illustrations here. I would encourage you all to read through here. There's just a lot of little nuggets that we can get that help us in our Christian walk. Says here, Exodus 13, verse 3, it says this, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which he came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." So it's just saying here that it does us good for those of us who have been delivered, for those of us who know the Lord and who are, you know, in his school, who are being sanctified by him, who have experienced justification, those of us whose our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those of us who have trusted and fell upon the rock of Jesus Christ and have gave our lives to him, it does us well to reflect often on how God's mighty hand did that. And also, not only that, but how his mighty hand is with us today. You know, I have to think, what a shame if we just stay at that place and never go on with God. You know, what would have happened if the children of Israel would have just stayed just on the other side of the Red Sea and just rejoiced and talked about their deliverance out of the bondages of Egypt, and they would have just sat there for years, 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 and years, not going on with God, not following that pillar of fire. So there's two ways to look at that. One way is we need to move on, but at the same time, in moving on, it does us good to reflect back on the power of God in our lives. It gives us encouragement, because there will be times when the journey is rough, and you know, if we reflect back and realize, you know, it was God who led us out of Egypt for a reason and a cause, and he's not going to lead us out and then just leave us sit there. He's going to continue to guide us by his Spirit. So God bless you. I'd like to continue with some of these thoughts in the next few days here.